Guests are Dr. Cindy Dominique, she is a clinical psychologist, and Sherelle Moore Tucker, a meditation and mindfulness yoga instructor. We're going to find out what that is in just a bit. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. And you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Dominique, good to see you again.
Thank you. Likewise, Harold.
And Sherelle, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So let us first deal with some foundational issues. Dr. Dominique, what is the difference between the holiday blues and depression?
That's a good question, but there is a difference.
Okay.
Depression is a mental illness that people experience for at least 2 weeks, two weeks period of time, and they might have experiences of insomnia, loss of appetite, feelings of hopelessness, feelings of guilt, shame and guilt. They might also have problems with
stress?
Stress.
There you go.
They might be isolating or withdrawing from others. As far as holiday blues, that's a different, it's specific to the holiday season. And I think there is a difference with that when people look at it. Depression is ongoing. Holiday blues is more so a specific time of year.
So let me make sure I'm clear. Someone can possibly have issues with depression that are exacerbated by the holidays, but you can also have people who may just be fine year round, and then when the holidays come up, you feel the blues.
Exactly.
Now, what about the stress piece? Is the stress different than the blues or depression?
Well, I think stress is a part of depression and the blues overall. When you think about the criteria for depression, or you think about the criteria for holiday blues, whatever's causing you stress in your personal life, it might be financial reasons, it might be work, it might be social, it might be marital, it might be a slew of different issues. So stress varies according to that individual.
Mm-hmm. Because when we were listening to the talk around town, Mollette Green was talking about, you know, credit cards being the Grinch and some of the other stresses. And it seems to me that she just put a stop sign up and she decided to focus on family. From your perspective, Sherelle, is that a good way to perhaps deal with not the blues and depression, mm-hmm. because Mollette is always up. She's always
right.
up. But dealing with the stresses of the holidays.
The stresses of the holiday is real. It is real and it is in full effect. For many people, it starts even back in November. But, you know, when you talk about finances are really triggers for a lot of people, not having enough. You'd be surprised to know even having more than enough, spending more money and more money, trying to appease people, appease your family, reaching these expectations that are unreachable. And so I think that stress definitely is connected to finances and money. And this is a time of year that this topic definitely needs to be discussed.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about holiday stress, holiday blues, holiday depression. How do you identify it? How do you address it? In the beginning, Sherelle, I identified you as a meditation and mindfulness yoga instructor. What is that?
Right. So many people may have heard of yoga. It's definitely becoming more and more well-known in various communities, probably in the last 5 to 10 years. It's really expanded into gyms, community centers, churches, all over. And the term mindfulness is something that's very, very popular amongst a lot of people. And it's really just becoming more aware, being more aware of your present moments. Many of us, I can speak from my own experience, we live in the future or we dwell in the past. And using the breath and meditation, something that really all of us do anyway, is an opportunity for us to cultivate that tool so that we can really be here in the present moment. As I'm speaking to you now, I'm looking at you, I am present with you. I am not focused on my to-do list. I am not in my car on my way home, but I am here and fully present. And so mindfulness is something that is definitely key to to dealing with stress during the holidays. It's actually one really good accessible tool that anybody can do.
But you say yoga. A lot of people, when they think yoga, folks like myself, for example,
you
think of being in a warm room, looking like a pretzel, and doing a lot of grunting. Is the meditation and mindfulness during the practice of yoga specifically different than what people usually see as yoga?
I'm sorry that was your experience. So not a lot of grunting.
Yeah, a lot
yoga.
Of grunting. Like I said, put some mustard on the pretzel because that's what it was like
yeah,
for me.
So this is the thing. When it comes to yoga and meditation, you can combine the two or you can do them separately. For myself, I teach yoga, but I also have a separate meditation practice that can be separate and apart from the postures and the different poses that you see. But the poses can be meditative. For a lot of people, it feels really good. The postures don't have to be difficult. You don't have to turn yourself into a pretzel. But it's really about exploring your body on a deeper level, being able to connect with your breath, body, soul, and spirit, so that you can be more in tune and aware with your feelings, your emotions. Because when you're not aware of your feelings, your emotions, maybe some of that is a tribute to stress, it will manifest in your body through various ailments, and attribute to various health challenges maybe that you're already facing. We know that when it comes to diabetes, high blood pressure and things of that nature, that when your stress levels are higher, it makes it even worse. And so yoga is something that definitely helps in that arena, because yoga is not just about the poses. That's just what we can physically see, the manifestation of it. But it's really helping you to retrain your nervous system, because many of us don't know how to relax.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the holiday blues, holiday stress, and even depression. How do you identify it and how do you address it? Lines are open. You can give us a call. Let's go to Sherry. Sherry calling from Suitland. Thanks for calling, Sherry. What's on your mind?
Right now, I'm suffering from depression. I've been in two horrible relationships. One was I'm already was diagnosed with bipolar manic depression. So I just lost my mother a few months ago, and she died of cancer. And then I was with someone for 5 years who devastated my life by leaving me and going back to his wife after saying that he wanted to be with me and everything. And I was not trying to be in a relationship with a married man, but he pursued me so much to the point to when he was like, I'm finished. I don't want, no longer to be in that relationship. And she cheated on me. She did this, she did that, and whatever and everything. So I had never been with a married man before. Mm-hmm. So I went on and pursued the relationship because I thought that this person loved me and was going to get a divorce so that they can be with me.
Well, Sherry, let me stop you there, because obviously you are dealing with a lot. Let me see what Dr. Dominique can share with you to help
you. Not only that. After he left, and that left me crying for like a year and a half, I ended up meeting someone else who basically treated me like I was nothing but some purity trash.
Well, let me, like I said, and obviously you are dealing with a lot. And I think that, there are various and sundry levels of issues that you have to deal with. Let me see if Dr. Dominique can at least begin to address some of the things that you were talking about. Dr. Dominique?
Well, Sherry, let me first say, please accept my condolences on the loss of your mother. I know losing a parent at any age is difficult for everybody and anybody. And you noted that you were diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Are you presently seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist?
Bipolar manic depressive disorder.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you seeing a psychiatrist or a psychologist?
No. And plus, I'm also going through the fact that my daughter is 18. She suffers with depression, and I'm not even able to do Christmas for her and things like that. And my whole spirit is gone, because even though I had met the first guy that I was with for 5 years, left me and went back to the person that he said, mistreated him and everything. After I went through so much of giving so much of myself, I ended up running into meeting someone else who treated me like trash.
Well, let me again, Sherry, it's really important that you allow Dr. Dominique to at least share some things with you. And then afterwards, I'll have the producer get your phone number so that you can talk offline and look into some possible resources real quick, Dr.
Dominique. Because it is very clear that you do need a lot more resources and support systems. So after we get off the line, we're going to try to talk to you and think about what we can do to help you outside of here, because obviously 2 minutes on a telephone is not going to do very much good, and you're struggling with a whole lot right now. So we will talk to you afterward.
So Sherry, our producer is going to get your phone number if you wouldn't mind sharing that with her when she asks, and then Dr. Dominique will call you. Is that okay?
That's fine. Okay.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much for calling. I know it's a difficult time, and I appreciate you sharing with us. I'll have the producer contact you while that's happening. Briefly, what is the first thing that you would recommend for someone like Sherry, Dr. Dominique, who is going through a mountain of issues?
Right now, I would check her network of support systems. Who are her friends? Does she go to church? Does she is she strong in her faith? What resources does she have available to her currently? That's what we want to see. I also want to see about her possibly being placed on medication and seeing a therapist regularly. I know you were diagnosed, Sherry, but I didn't know how long ago and all these other things. So we will talk about that offline. But definitely, let's look at the resources you have available.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a really good idea. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about dealing with holiday stress, holiday blues, and holiday depression. How do you identify it, and how best to address those issues? Let me go to Vanessa. Vanessa, calling from Pikesville. Thanks for calling, Vanessa. What's on your mind?
I'm one of those persons that are pretty much okay during the course of the year, and then as soon as Thanksgiving hits, I really don't want to go to dinner. I don't want to be around anyone. It's kind of depressing because I have a bully for a boss, and that just doubles things for Christmas. And right now, I'm such a giver. I'm always giving gifts. I like to see other people happy, but when it comes to me, it's like a downward spiral, and it's been like that since I was a child. And my mother always calls me and tries to, check up on me and see if I'm okay, but I will turn the world off. You know, the same thing at New Year's. I don't have, it's like that time of year. I don't know what it is. It just creeps up on you, and it's worrisome. It's very worrisome.
I need you to hold on, Vanessa, because I need to take a break, but okay. I want to make sure that you get the full benefit of both of our guests in studio. So can you hang on for me for a bit?
Sure.
Okay, because you will be able to hear the program. We are going to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation about dealing with holiday stress, holiday blues, and holiday depression, identifying it, addressing it. Lines are still open. If you have a question, if you have a comment, at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Give us a call. We are still taking your questions even after 7:30, and you will be able to hear the program and the answers to your questions as well. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about holiday stress, the holiday blues, and holiday depression. My guests are clinical psychologist Dr. Cindy Dominique and Sherelle Moore Tucker. She is a meditation and mindfulness yoga instructor. If you have a question, if you have a comment about dealing with the stresses or the blues during the holidays, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to go back to Vanessa calling from Pikesville, your thoughts about what she was saying, Dr. Dominique?
Vanessa, I think sometimes it's good to shy away and hide to some degree because it's a protective measure. But on the other hand, if we're not prepared for those things that bring us down, sometimes holidays are like anniversaries of losing loved ones. And then sometimes we might even see other people have things or families that we want and we kind of long. We have this yearning for it. So then within us, we become depressed. But I think it's so important to prepare yourself because starting in October, you know, Thanksgiving is around the bend, Christmas, and New Year's. So what can you do in those times leading up to those holidays to prepare yourself so that way you have that extra armor when you get to those times so that way when it does come, you're going to be able to handle it in a better fashion?
Also, Sherelle, what would you suggest for Vanessa? Because she said something I thought was interesting. She said her situation is kind of depressing, but she didn't say she was depressed. And as you suggested, Dr. Dominique, she knows this is coming. Mm-hmm. And so is it possible that the meditation techniques and mindfulness techniques that you are suggesting could head off some of these issues?
Absolutely. I think that she's in a pattern where this time of year, you know, coming to October, going into November, she starts isolating herself and she's by herself and not wanting to participate. And I think that she can use that time to cultivate a practice of meditation and being able to dig within herself to find out what is the root cause of that. What are those experiences? What are some of those things that would cause her to not want to be in fellowship or interact with people during this time? Because I'm sure there's a reason behind it. And maybe she's not even consciously aware of what it is at the time. But sometimes until you dig a little deeper, things don't bubble up to the surface. And so I would encourage her to continue to use that time to dig inside herself through meditation to discover what are some of the reasoning behind not wanting to be around people and to not just be in that slump of depression or sadness, but look towards finding the root cause of what is it really.
Talk to me a little bit more, and I want Vanessa to hear this as well as everyone else. When you say get into meditation, you know, meditation, it's a big word. Can you kind of paint a picture of how that begins? How do you set the atmosphere for something like that? And what is the process?
Right. Meditation, I believe that it's a huge word. It's one of those catchwords. People love throwing it around, but it really is very simple. Many times we make things very, very difficult. We want the ambiance. We want the lights. We want peace and quiet before we think that we can engage in the meditative experience. But that's not true because we all meditate, even though we don't know it. Worry is a form of meditation.
Really?
Yes, it is. Anything that you dwell or ponder on is a form of meditation. And so we all really are expert meditators, as my pastor, Dr. Weaver, always reminds me. We all know how to meditate. It's just about what you want to meditate on.
Hmm. So you're suggesting that, you know, the candles, low lights, incense, and and New Age music isn't always necessary?
It's not necessary.
Does it help?
It can definitely help if you're that type of person. So you may be someone that doesn't really like music, or maybe you don't like candles, but your whole life can be a meditative experience. It's about being present, about being in the moment, taking an opportunity to step outside of yourself and observe your thoughts. What are you really saying to yourself? Are you having those negative thoughts where you're talking to yourself, self-sabotage? Many times we say we don't, but meditation is about digging deeper than the conscious and going to that subconscious mind. And so we have those three levels, the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious. The subconscious mind is where a lot of our truths about what we believe about ourselves, that's where those thoughts lie. Maybe someone told you something as a child growing up, and you thought that you had cast it to the side, but you continuously find yourself in this circle, which is reaffirming that that truth is true in your life because it's in your subconscious mind, and maybe you never dealt with it. Meditation opens the door for you to discover those things that have been lying dormant and allows you an opportunity to deal with it and to be able to address it in the here and the now, because many of those thoughts in the subconscious mind come from our past experiences.
Before I let you go, Vanessa, what do you think about that?
It sounds like something I could try, because it's, you know, it's getting to the point where, like you said, right when the end of October hits and November's coming, I close up shop. I turn off all my phones. I hibernate. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. But at the same time, I want to see other people happy. And
yeah.
And that could also be identified as seasonal affective disorder.
And I was going to get into that in the next portion of this conversation. But before we delve into a little bit of that, do you have any resources that you can share before I let Vanessa go and go on to the next call?
Can we talk offline as well?
We can, but I would imagine that would probably keep you really busy. But it's okay with you, that's fine.
I will call after the show.
Okay, well, we'll ask our producer also to get Vanessa's phone number as well. But for those who are listening who may not call in, is there a website or some other information or resources that you can possibly share?
Well, NIH has a great resource for depression and all mental illnesses. Also, SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration, they have great resources there that I use all the time. And you could find a therapist. Psychology Today is a great resource. There's so many different things depending on your location and the area that you live. So I didn't want to give something where specific to a certain area.
Right, but certainly there, mm-hmm. and we've spoken about SAMHSA before.
Yes.
It's
SAMHSA.
All right. There you are. Well, Vanessa, thank you so much. I'll have our producer reach out to you as well and get your phone number so that Dr. Dominique can speak to you after, if we could have that taken care of. In the interim, let me go to Imani. Imani calling from Bethesda. Imani, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I'm a school counselor in Montgomery County. And basically, I just wanted to make a comment that around this time of year, I know that we as adults can get caught up and bogged down in our own stuff that's going on, and that's legitimate and that's important. But we also have to really turn our attention to our kids who need us. And in the schools around this time of year, we see teen suicide.
Mm-hmm.
We see self-harm behaviors. We see drinking, drug use, things that are going on at the middle school level, at the high school level, huge issues. And these kids are crying out for our help. And school counselors, school psychologists, coaches, teachers have to look out for the warning signs. Parents have to look out for the warning signs. And we have to work together to support our kids.
Your thoughts, Dr. Dominique?
Absolutely, Imani. I think a lot of times we focus on adults and we forget about adolescents or young children. I think school-aged children nowadays, they're coming to the classroom with so many more different issues. It's not only poverty, it's sexual abuse, it's so many different things, drugs in the family, loss of a parent might be incarcerated, all these different things.
Right.
And they carry that every single day. And some of these children are very quiet about it. But like you indicated, they engage in self-harm. They engage in other behaviors such as risky behaviors and all those things. And those might be indicators letting us know that something is happening. And as a group of us, meaning the teachers, the coaches, the parents, we all have to work together like you indicated. And sometimes we do fall short because we have so many things on our plate and we want to do it all, but we can't do it all.
And it's okay to say, I need help with this child.
Absolutely.
Well, Imani, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about holiday stress, holiday blues, and holiday depression. Lines are open if you have a question or comment. Before we spoke to Imani, we were going to talk about SAD, seasonal affective disorder. Dr. Dominique, first of all, what is that?
Well, seasonal affective disorder is a disorder in the DSM-5, and it starts happening at the change of the seasons, late September, early October, because it gets darker earlier in the day, and you know, we don't have a lot of light, and then it gets cold, and what do you want to do when you get cold and it's dark? You want to huddle. Some people call it cuffing season.
Snuggle.
Snuggle. But a lot of people do become depressed, and it might be associated with holiday blues as well. So some things or some forms of treatment is light therapy. People have the light shining on them for a particular amount of time, and so a lot of energy. I don't know how you would call it, bulbs or something. Mm-hmm. But yes, those are some things that happen, but it's a real thing.
Now, I understand about the light therapy piece, but and certainly, you know, you're the expert, but I would think that the body, the mind knows the difference between, you know, going to the Bahamas, you know, where there's a lot of sun and warm weather, or Miami, and going to therapy where you're sitting under a sun lamp.
The body knows, but still, the body is not something that you could actually be logical with about certain things. Like, we all have our own circadian rhythm. It's kind of like when your circadian rhythm.
Which is?
It's our internal clock. Mm-hmm. Basically, say, for example, if you're traveling across different time zones and you're jet lagged, your circadian rhythm is all distorted. Because you're so used to one thing and now you're traveling to another area or location and it's somewhat disruptive. So that's why they always say take a couple of days so that way you could get acclimated to the new area before you start doing a lot more. So we all have these internal clocks or homeostasis in our body. And with that, even with the change of seasons, even if you're prepared for it, you still become, you can become...
Go ahead. You can still have issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like forgetting words.
Exactly. I might have seasonal affective disorder.
You just may.
I think it's called seasonal forgetful disorder.
It is quite possible. You're probably thinking about your Christmas list. So,
but you made some great points because as the seasons change, the body reacts. And the mind reacts as well. And so I find that when I teach classes and I'm doing presentations that a lot of people can identify with that and use yoga, the practice of the asanas and the posture as movement therapy.
The practice of the?
Of the yoga postures, also called asanas. So just the movement is used as movement therapy to aid and help in how the body begins to change when there's less sunlight, the temperatures drop for people like me, which I deal with arthritis, which is what brought me to the practice of yoga. When the temperatures begin to decrease, you can have swellness in the joints and just different things shift. And so people like myself and others, we engage in more movement, more mindfulness, because seasons bring with it different reactions in the body.
Interesting. I need to take a break. When we come back, more about holiday stress, the holiday blues, and holiday depression. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. .com. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about holiday stress, holiday blues, and holiday depression with clinical psychologist Dr. Cindy Dominique and Sherelle Moore Tucker, a meditation and mindfulness yoga instructor. Here's a really difficult issue, and a lot of people are struggling with this during the holidays. It is the loss of a loved one. We spoke to Sherry earlier, and she was talking about loss of relationships. But when you're talking about dealing with mourning and the loss of a loved one, whether it's a relationship, a parent, that brings about more difficult, and I would say probably the most difficult kinds of holiday blues and depression. How do you recommend people address that, particularly when you have people who have passed recently, within the last month or so?
I tell everybody to go to therapy.
Uh-huh.
But also use your resources. I have a lot of friends, and I lost loved ones at a very young age. So the holidays are not always easy for me. So what do? I make sure I don't isolate. I make sure that I don't withdraw myself. I engage in those things that bring me joy and make me feel good, such as volunteering, because I know it's not about me. It's about me serving and helping other people, because there are people who have more difficulties than I do, not to minimize my own depression or experiences of loss. But when you're there to help other people out, you forget about all the negativity that you're dealing with, and your goal is to help other people. So I encourage people to volunteer. Just be outside of themselves. Meditation is a great form, but using the support systems that you have available to you and recognizing what they are.
But it seems to me that certainly easier said than done, but to take those first steps to get up off of the couch when you are in mourning, or even if you're not and you're just feeling so absolutely low. And as we had one of our listeners say, she just wants to isolate. She wants to shut down. How do you take that first step to be around people? And I'll ask you that first, Sherelle, then I'll go back to Dominique.
I think that you have to first start where you are. You can't rush the grief process. And so I meet many people that are dealing with grief, but they're not realizing that they're dealing with it because they quickly move on. So you go to the funeral, you make the preparations, and next thing you know, you're back at work and life is supposed to be normal. And of course, when you lose a loved one, life is never normal again. But you tell yourself this new reality that I just go back to work and everything is fine. And what I find with a lot of people is that grief, that taking that opportunity to not go through the various stages of grief, they begin to manifest it in their bodies. There is a true mind-body connection. And so unprocessed grief, it will manifest itself in the lungs. So you may have some respiratory issues, heart problems, things of that nature. And I think it's very important for people to be there in the moment, even if you're on the couch, and begin to process what just happened. Not staying there, but begin to process what it is. And that can start with meditation and just simply breathing. You know, when you lose a loved one, it can knock the breath right out of you.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important to allow yourself the time to sit with it. I just lost my mother-in-law in our family and just last month. And I'm encouraging my husband and family members, as well as encouraging myself, to just take the time to process. This is the first of many. First birthdays without her, first Christmas without her. And so I think that everyone has their own way of dealing with the grief. Allow that uniqueness to come through in whatever shape or form, through the tears, through pain, through a scream, because there's nothing worse than not having the opportunity to grieve and go on with life as normal and allow it to manifest through different health ailments and conditions.
And Dr. Dominique, now, Sherelle just made an interesting point. With the loss of her mother-in-law, her husband has the benefit of comfort from a wife.
Mm-hmm.
As we've heard on these phone calls that we've taken this evening, it appears that those callers don't have the benefit of a spouse or a mate. They are alone.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are dealing with these issues alone, are there any things that when you talk to your clients that you find common in the kinds of things that they worry about, that they're stressing about? And is there a really common practice that helps them move beyond these issues?
Well, grief in itself is not common in the sense that grief can come in any shape or any form related to anything. It could be a loss of a friendship and not necessarily
Absolutely.
A parent. Loss of a pet. And I have a dog. We were just talking about it, but the dog has helped me
get out of my depression and my depressed times. Like I have to get up to go walk him 2 times a day. I can't lay in my madness. I can't stay stuck. So he works me to start moving and getting activated. And I think sometimes when we don't have those things, not necessarily having a significant other, but what are those things that are going to make you get up and get out? Mm. That's the important thing. You have to be active, because depression is where you get stuck. You can't move forward and you can't move in any other direction. But the goal is to start moving. We want you to activate. We want you to thrive. And it could be the smallest little step. But as long as you take that step, there's hope.
Do you see an uptick in appointments during this time of the year for your practice?
No.
You don't?
No.
Why? I'm surprised. I would think that you would see more people wanting to come in, wanting to sit down and address their issue. Why do you think that?
Well, a lot of people don't want to come in during the holidays because they want to get through the holidays. And it's after the holidays that they come in because they're like, okay, now the stress is so much. Where do I go with it? I'm carrying all this weight. I feel like Atlas. I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. How do I move away from that? And after the holidays round, the end of January, beginning of February, that's when I start seeing a lot more people coming in saying, I need help, because they can't carry it anymore.
Does the therapist, how does the therapist deal with the burden of being a therapist when you have, and I've always wanted to ask, and I know it sounds, you know, funny, but I'm quite sure that people think about this.
Yes.
You're hearing people's problems, and even if you are Perky Patty, I can only imagine that, you know, even after a fashion, the therapist has to address being, you know, a therapist. How do you deal with that?
Well, I'm human just like everybody else. I go to therapy and I advocate for therapy. I can't tell someone to go to therapy if I've never been in that same predicament or situation. So I know how it is from the other side. I have a lot of friends who are therapists, and they're very objective, and they tell Cindy the things that are important, not the things that I want to hear. But I use them every single day. And I have friends who are ministers. I talk to them and they yell at me too. You know, Cindy, get out of the bed. Cindy, go do this. And I'm like, okay. I get like that. I do get depressed. It might be sometimes hormonal. It might be the time of year. It might be an anniversary or a loss of someone. But I have to continuously fight. I can't get stuck. I've been stuck. I don't want to go back there. So I do my best to fight it every single day. So that means I go to therapy. If that means me being on medication for the extra support, then I do that.
And I think it's really great when you say you have that, you know, your professional peers, but also your friends that are also therapists.
Yes.
But do you only talk to them for 50 minutes? Do they bill you?
Well, they should charge me a lot of money because I'm calling like 10 times a day.
You know, the one that you went to elementary school, girl, 49 minutes. I love you, but I got to let you go.
Friends, we do things in other ways. I might buy them makeup or some popcorn, and that will be okay.
You know, and I joke about it, but certainly, which goes back to a point that Sherelle was making about, you know, being, you know, in the company of being mindfulness and meditation and being happy. I think, you know, laughter is the best medicine. And we started off saying this is, you know, the time of holiday cheer, the most wonderful time of the year. And I think it's so important for, if you're feeling low, to be around people who are feeling up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I only have a minute left. I'll let you have one final word, Sherelle. Your thoughts on handling the blues during this season.
So I think handling the holiday blues and the stress of it all, many of those triggers, you have to be aware of what triggers you, whether it's more events, money, travel, what those things are, find out what your triggers are, and take steps to figure out how to address it. How do you operate? How do you work? Many times we are stuck in traditions where we're trying to replicate what our grandmothers and our aunties did, fixing all the foods from scratch and whatnot, and your life doesn't resemble anything as far as what they did. And so there, allow yourself time and space for new traditions. Allow yourself time and space to maybe say no to an event or two when you're working with close deadlines and managing everything. And so I think that going deep inside yourself, making better decisions, meditation and mindfulness definitely helps you become more clear, more focused, making better decisions, making wise decisions, also being more aware of how you process stress in your body. Beginning to move again, beginning to process, beginning to breathe more, allowing yourself to really be in the present moment so that you can be present for your children, yourself, and for others. So it can truly be an authentic experience and you not just focusing on tradition or what commercialism says that you have to do.
Well said. Real quick, your final thought, Dr. Dominique.
Everything that Sherelle said.
You know, you don't want to, you know, forget another word tonight,
exactly.
Right?
I told you.
Just what she said, you know what, and I think that's fine. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you here, Dr. Dominique, and
likewise,
I appreciate
thank you
your sense of humor, Sherelle Moore Tucker. Also, I appreciate you. Do you have a website or a way that people can contact you, Sherelle?
Absolutely. They can find me at SherelleMooreTucker.com. All of my social media sites are listed there. I would love to talk to anyone that's interested in mindfulness, meditation, and even yoga if that's part of your wellness plan for 2018.
And that's SHERELL?
Two R's, two L's.
Two R's, two L's. Okay, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Happy holidays to
happy holidays, everyone.
All right.
Happy holidays.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, December 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.